The Trump administration says it will pay tax refunds despite the government shutdown, but with a skeleton staff, how? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. If the partial government shutdown drags on, the Trump administration is now promising the Internal Revenue Service will still keep sending out tax refunds. My colleague Scott Tong is following this reversal in policy. Previously, processing the refunds was not deemed an essential government activity. Scott, what's the logic now?
Well, the official reasoning here is the White House wants to minimize the pain of the shutdown on regular Americans. Now, in past shutdowns, the White House has banned the IRS from doing this. Now the White House Budget Office has a new policy, and the argument is that tax refunds are similar to Social Security checks, which have continued in past shutdowns. Those are considered essential to protect life and property. Now, the unofficial reasoning, according to skeptics, is the White House wants to juice the economy and get the credit. Now, the average refund last February is more than $3,000, so that adds up to hundreds of billions in economic stimulus.
But there's some debate here over whether these refunds are allowed.
Surely there is. Opponents are asking, well, what's the reason for this change? And to them, the details so far have been sketchy. They argue that if Congress has not okayed the money for the Treasury Department, it can't spend it on IRS workers who have to process these refunds. And right now, 8 out of 9 IRS workers are home during the shutdown, and they would have to come back to do this work without any pay. FYI, the filing season starts on January 28th.
Scott Tong reports out of Marketplace's Washington Bureau. Carlos Ghosn, until recently the chairman of Nissan Motors of Japan and current CEO of Renault of France, got his first moment in court today. He said today he is innocent and has been, quote, wrongly accused and unfairly detained based on meritless and unsubstantiated accusations. Ghosn has been in detention for 50 days so far amid allegations he understated his compensation. A judge today refused to grant bail. Checking the markets, the FTSE stock index in London up 1.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures all up 0.7%. The benchmark interest rate in the U.S. pretty steady this morning at 2.7%. Once upon a time when I said Amazon, you thought rainforest. Now, if you do the calculation today, stock price times the number of shares, Amazon is the most valuable company in the world, jumping past Microsoft to that top spot. Last time around was a terrible flu season. An estimated 80,000 people died prematurely from the flu and complications. That was the highest in 40 years. Marketplace's Erica Barris is monitoring this season.
At this point in flu season, it's hard to say just how bad things will get, says William Schaffner. He's an infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt University. But he can say that the strain of flu that went around last year was especially bad. While this year,
the strain is different. Fortunately, by and large, it causes less severe infections.
And the vaccine available this year is more compatible with the strain. That's a good thing, too. Even so, says Schaffner,
flu changes, and there are a number of different strains that are active each year.
And in addition to the discomfort caused by the flu, there's an economic cost, says Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health.
For example, the direct medical cost on a moderate year can be anywhere around $10 billion.
That's things like hospital stays. And the indirect costs for time missed from work and such, that's upwards of $85 billion. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Now to Liverpool, England, where the gift that keeps on giving is the band called The Beatles. Reporter Lucia Benavides bought a ticket to ride.
So sit back and enjoy your magical mystery tour.
Dozens of people board a bright yellow magical mystery tour bus, preparing to visit some of Liverpool's most famous spots, including the childhood homes of all four Beatles. Beatles tourism brings in $104 million to Liverpool every year, according to a 2016 study commissioned by the City Council. Diane Glover, marketing manager at the Beatles Story Museum, says this industry started to take off in the early 1990s.
Liverpool was a very, very different place back then. You know, it was still very industrial. The Beatles weren't seen as important as a, you know, as tourism.
Since then, places like the Cavern Club, where the Beatles played in their early years, have reopened for fans. That's where Martin Stallings from Texas ended his day.
When I flew in, I got a taxi driver and said, okay, take me to all the spots. So I went to see Penny Lane, went to the barbershop, drove by Strawberry Fields, but it's under construction.
It's an industry that's still growing, and one that has helped other businesses in Liverpool as well. Many hotels, restaurants, and shopping centers have opened up in recent years. Glover says 80% of the museum's visitors come from outside England.
There's so many visitors who break down in tears in this room. They're sort of overcome with emotion. You know, they've saved up a lot of money to come to Liverpool over the years. It's on their bucket list of places to come and to visit.
That visit can add up. A room at the Hardays Night Hotel starts at roughly $200. An adult entry to the museum, $21. And a ticket to ride to the Magical Mystery Tour, around $24. In Liverpool, I'm Lucia Benavides for Marketplace.
And Samsung has caught a case of the apples. Last week, the Apple news was that China's economic slowdown, connected at least in part to the trade war, will bite deep into sales and profits there. Now, South Korean rival Samsung is projecting a drop in its profits for last quarter due to similar pressures. Its microchip business is also down. Samsung's stock fell 1.8% today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.